Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Welcome back to Tesla Daily. Unfortunately, today returning to one of the worst days in the market in recent years following the Consumer Price Index report this morning. We'll talk about that. We've also got updates from Tesla's head of investor relations at an investor conference held by Goldman Sachs and some other news items as well. All right, looking at the markets, actually a pretty fantastic day today for Tesla, as strange as it is to say, considering Tesla finished down 4% to close at $292.13. But of course, speaking relatively, the Nasdaq down 5.2%. So a horrible day in the markets. You've got companies like Apple finishing down 6%, Amazon down 7%, etc. And unfortunately, that means for the first time in a while, we get to break out our worst performances chart again. So for the Nasdaq over the last 5 years, this is the fifth worst day. And if we shorten that time horizon to the last 2 years, it's actually the worst day in that time period. So this kind of volatility is why I've been circling this CPI report on the calendar for a number of weeks now. The Nasdaq today pretty much giving up the entirety of its gains from last week. Sometimes people question why I talk as much as I do about the macro environment. Well, it's things like this. This affects what's going on with Tesla, whether it's day-to-day, the stock price performance, or longer-term things that can be a result of some of these macro situations. Obviously, supply chain comes to mind there. We'll talk a little bit more about that later on. So it goes without saying, but the Consumer Price Index report, CPI report this morning, was higher than expectations both on the headline number and on the core number. The headline number, so including energy and food prices, increased by 0.1% month over month in August, whereas July had been flat month over month. So generally, a number like that would be fine. 0.1 to 0.2% month over month would get to that 2% annual number that the Fed usually looks for. But what we're seeing in this case is a lot of the drop being driven by energy, which declined 5% month over month. That was an even bigger drop than the 4.6% decline that was reported for July. And despite that, the headline number came in higher. So that alludes to other categories being significantly higher, and that's where the core CPI comes in. So excluding food and energy prices, core CPI was up 0.6% month over month, which was tied with many other months this year for the second highest increase in the last 12 months. If we look at how that looks on the year-over-year chart, we can see a 6.3% increase here in August. That's higher than what we had seen in July, and perhaps the most concerning and important part of this report is that's the first time in the last 5 months where the core year-over-year number hasn't stayed the same or declined. If that number is not declining, it becomes significantly more difficult to make a case that inflation is under control. So when we then think about the markets, those takeaways quickly flow their way into expectations for actions from the Federal Reserve. With this data, expectations for interest rate increases rise, both in terms of the rate increases themselves and the expediency of such increases. We can see those increased expectations from CME Group's Fed Watch tool, which now puts a 50 basis point increase at a 0% probability. A month ago, that had been 55%. A week ago, 27%. Now that's zero. They put a 75 basis point increase at 67%, and even are placing a 33% probability on a 100 basis point increase. That would be the biggest that we have seen this year, and yesterday they had that at a 0% probability. These increased expectations flow through to the next meeting then, that is early November, which now places a greater than 50% probability of at least a 150 basis point increase from where we are at today across those two meetings. So that's why we're seeing the markets decline today, and for Tesla, that's why I say it's an extremely strong performance continuing the relative strength that we've seen in Tesla over the last month, but at the same time, you can only do so much as an individual stock in a down market. So it'll be interesting to see where things go from here. Of course, tomorrow we'll have the producer price index in pre-market. Investors will be looking in that report for anything that can reinforce the CPI report or anything that can maybe shed a different light on where we're at right now. All right, getting into Tesla specific news, we've got some more updates from Tesla's head of investor relations, Martin Viecha. He presented at the Goldman Sachs Communacopia Plus Technology Conference, as they call it. Goldman Sachs highlighted some of their key takeaways, and then Business Insider also had a couple of interesting reports on this as well. Goldman Sachs says that management discussed the long-term supply-demand backdrop, lead times globally and in China, the potential for cost of goods sold per vehicle to trend low over time, the semiconductor and battery cell supply environment, which is improving, and FSD. Now, over the last week, of course, with the Giga Berlin tours with analysts and a couple of other events, we have heard Martin's comments on a number of these topics, so we'll avoid repetition in those cases, but there are some interesting new things here as well. We've talked about the shortened wait times in China and how that might be a big question for analysts and investors. Goldman Sachs' first key takeaway was, quote, Tesla believes the long-term demand environment is strong. Tesla commented that the long-term outlook is strong and that battery supply is the key gating factor to long-term industry growth. While we believe there has been investor focus of late on the shortened lead times to receive Tesla vehicles in China, the company had record output last month in China per third-party reports, and although several auto companies have suggested macroeconomic conditions in China are slowing, importantly, Tesla uses China as an export hub. In addition, Tesla provided its thoughts on the impact of the recently passed Inflation Reduction Act noting it is difficult to determine the final impact given substantial uncertainty surrounding the exact interpretation of the bill. However, Tesla believes generally it should be well-positioned given its footprint in the United States, end quote. So we're not really getting a verbatim comment in there from Tesla, but they do start this off as their first key takeaway, and their first line in here says that Tesla commented that the long-term demand outlook is strong. So I think even how Goldman Sachs is positioning this as their first item is interesting in and of itself. Hopefully that helps reduce some of those concerns. The rest is stuff we've kind of already talked about with the Inflation Reduction Act. And then their second main takeaway, which I also found interesting, was that Tesla stated supply chain constraints are improving both for battery cells and chip supply. Tesla commented it has significantly improved battery cell supply, in part as it has added several new suppliers. In addition, Tesla commented that it doesn't believe semiconductor shortages will be a limiting factor to production over the balance of this year, though there remain some uncertainties and this dynamic could change, end quote. So both really big important points there. Not cell constrained, we've heard Tesla talk a little bit about that, but it has mostly been in reference to being semiconductor constrained, which Tesla in the same breath here seems to be saying, well, we don't really have that constraint right now either, which could change, but it's certainly a different and much more positive message than we've heard from Tesla earlier this year. That's really encouraging news, and of course constraints can pop up anywhere, but it sounds to me like Tesla right now is mostly constrained by themselves, probably things like general assembly, and just capacity limits at their factory, but that means we should see Tesla's production tracking a lot closer to installed capacity, and certainly we're starting to see that in Shanghai, and from that leaked meeting that we talked about on Friday, hopefully at Fremont as well. Berlin and Texas, of course, will depend on their own individual ramps. Anyway, on this point on battery supply, Business Insider reported on this well. They included a direct quote from a source that apparently attended the meeting, and they said that Martin said, quote, "For the first time I can remember, we can access all the supply we need for both businesses," end quote, referring, of course, to automotive and energy. This also tracks with that leaked meeting. Remember all of the progress that we talked about with the energy business, how that finally seems like it's starting to come on? And we pair that with the comments on semiconductor shortages, too. Elon had earlier this year talked about how that was impacting energy as well. So if that's freed up and batteries are freed up as well, that's huge for Tesla Energy, which, as Martin alludes to here, has really never been in that position. That's great for Q3, but it's also going to take Tesla some time to fully capitalize on that position. So I think it's even a bigger deal for 2023, which has the potential to mark a strong inflection point for the energy business, especially because we've seen solar actually pick it up a little bit as well. So very exciting on that front. And then the other thing about this meeting that Business Insider reported on was, quote, "When asked about the possibility of Tesla making a cheaper EV, Vieca said that the company eventually wants a more affordable vehicle on the road. If a company wants to be a high-volume automaker, it needs to have a broad portfolio, and Tesla needs a cheaper offering before its company-operated robotaxi service comes out," he explained, end quote. However, Martin on Twitter today said, quote, "Never said anything about a prior to 2024 robotaxi platform rollout," end quote. So I think we can mostly throw away that part of the report from Business Insider. Of course, we would expect Tesla to continue working down their cost of production, and with that, probably diversifying the lineup over time. As I've said, I do think it's an interesting question about what Tesla's contingency plan is for the product lineup if full autonomy isn't solved. But Business Insider also says that Martin described the Model X and S as the first generation platform, Model 3 and Y as the second generation, and the Robotaxi platform as Generation 3. Maybe this robotaxi platform will have a contingency design for a vehicle that is driven by customers if FSD is not quite there yet. Either way, we know the robotaxi is going to be focused on very, very low costs of production. All right, moving on from that Goldman Sachs meeting, we've got a little bit of an update here on supercharging. This comes from Marco RP Tesla again. He's been tracking a lot of the permitting relating to supercharging and has found that a location in Arizona, Yuma County specifically, has site plans that seem to hint at supercharger version 4. Which, as we have talked about before, would be a new supercharging post design that looks more like the urban superchargers or the Tesla Semi chargers. I'm not sure on the timeline of this project specifically, and unfortunately, no other details on version 4 at this time. Next, we've got a report on an item that we have talked about a few times this year. Green the Only has noticed that Tesla has added what appears to be a new radar to the electronic parts catalog for the Model X and Model S. In the screenshot here from the parts catalog, we look at part number 2. We can see that that is a bracket for a radar attachment. Right near that on the diagram is part 1, which actually does not have a part name listed as of yet. But as Green points out, the diagram seems to match with the application that Tesla had filed with the FCC for an HD radar that they have been developing. So as I've said the other times we've talked about this, we'll have to wait and see what comes of this. Maybe this is included in Tesla's hardware for FSD. Maybe Tesla's got some other purpose in mind. Obviously, Tesla has made a pretty big deal about removing radar and about Tesla Vision and the success that they have had with that. They just highlighted that in their blog post about the safety test that we talked about last week. But at the same time, Elon had said previously this year that only very high resolution radar is relevant in a follow-up to a tweet about road systems being designed for cameras. So if at some point Tesla does re-add a type of radar, they'll get criticism for talking about vision only. But it should at least be noted that Elon had acknowledged this a long time ago, and I still think it's very impressive what Tesla is doing with Tesla Vision, which is obviously work that needs to be done regardless of radar or not. All right, last couple of things here. We've got a report from notatteslaapp.com today that says that Tesla is going to be adding alternate routes to update 2022.28, which should, as Google Maps or Apple Maps would do, take into account traffic data and suggest an alternative route if there is one that is available and a little bit quicker. Or I suppose it would even serve the purpose of if the vehicle has chosen an alternative route, it can kind of give you information on why that is the case, because the vehicle will actually already reroute if there is a faster route. And if you're unfamiliar with that, it is an option in the settings area. It'll be nice though to have a little bit more control and information on that element. Also on the software front, of course, this weekend, it looks like Tesla did follow through and ended up rolling out FSD Beta 10.69.2 to the FSD Beta pool. So presumably to about 100,000 vehicles. And I guess now we've got that answer, which as we suspected was not the entire wide release to everyone that has ordered, at least in North America. So not surprising, but hopefully we will still end up seeing that before the end of the year. Lastly then, just a Twitter update, former head of security Peter Zatko did end up testifying today in front of Congress. There seemed to be a little bit less focus on things like bots and more focus on just Twitter security and some of those issues in general, mostly recapping things from the whistleblower case that was already filed, so probably no major surprises popping up from that. And then also today, the vote completed for the merger agreement with Twitter. Shareholders voted to approve that, unsurprisingly as well. Pretty much a formality at this point, and of course that will still depend on the outcome of the court case. All right, that is it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Wednesday, September 14th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.